Oh, that was Bailando by Enrico Iglesias featuring Luan Santana. And that was in Portuguese.
So we're not quite sure what Bailando means.
Yes, if any Portuguese speakers out there, and it's a naughty word, do not ring us. Just ring the broadcasting control board straight away and dob us in. Anyway, we hope it's a look, it looked good.
It was a nice rhythm.
It was a nice rhythm, and we went with the rhythm, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, palate member Rita Ehrlich knows food as co-editor of Good Food Guide for 15 years, and she's an author of numerous books about food and about cooking. She's recently been to Portugal, hence the Bailando, a country that's spread its food and wine influence into many different parts of the world, from the Americas to Africa and Asia. I spoke to Rita earlier today. Welcome back, Rita.
Thank you.
Now, Portugal, interesting part of the world, a little bit of Spain, maybe a little bit of France. How did you find it?
Oh, look, I've been to Portugal before, and it's a country I love to go back to. And it's changed quite a lot in the 6 years since I was last there. There's a huge amount of building going on.
Right.
And so Portugal economically is going through big changes and quite a big revival.
Now, was Portugal one of the pigs? One of the
yes, it was indeed.
It was the P in pig, was it?
Yep, it was the P for pig. Yep.
And but you're saying it sounds like it's come through that challenge.
Well, two things have happened. One is that it's had a tourist-led recovery. The other is that there's a huge amount of building going on.
Right.
A lot of other European countries are in Portugal.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe the EU is looking to bolster.
Well,
it's
not
fortunes.
Even that necessarily. I know a French friend retired to Portugal because he's got a limited income, and he says it is much easier for them to live in Portugal than it is in France.
Okay.
A guide to prices. Coffee in Portugal is a euro or less.
Wow.
Now, a euro is what, a dollar?
Oh, $50.
Yeah, $1.50 maybe.
Yeah.
So coffee in Portugal is cheaper than pretty well anywhere else in Europe.
Yeah, because I mean, last time in Paris, I think I was paying upwards of $3 a coffee.
Yeah.
Well, yep, €3, sorry, which is,
yep,
€3. You know.
The virtue of coffee in Portugal isn't only that it's affordable, but it is fantastic. Everything you can drink in Portugal is wonderful. So the big thing, and the thing you order for breakfast or whenever you're thirsty, there are a couple of options. One is sumo de laranja, orange juice, freshly squeezed, ripe oranges, absolutely delicious. And I have to tell you that a breakfast consisting of sumo de laranja, un pastel de nata, Portuguese custard tart, and coffee is just gorgeous.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I can understand why you would appreciate that first up in the morning.
The other interesting thing about Portugal is, or lots of interesting things in terms of food and wine. Take your pick of wine, because there's great white wine made in the north. There's good red wine made all over the place. And there is our favourite, port.
Yes.
Made in Porto, of course.
Right.
And the port houses, I think there are a couple of newer ones, but most of them are a couple of hundred years old.
And some of the wines are almost that old too, aren't they? In barrels.
The barrels of port, yes, they are.
Mm.
They're huge, although every so often you get huge, terrible floods. And there was one time, I think in the 19th century, where the waters were so high and so strong that these vast barrels were actually washed out of the port cellar.
Oh, no. People were swimming and drinking.
No. Now they chain them up. So even even should there be a flood like that,
right,
they'll stay in the cellars where they should be.
Now, the Portuguese were great colonists, weren't they? We see their influence in Africa, in the Americas, in Asia. You know, the Nonya cuisine from Malaysia is part Portuguese. How did you find their cuisine at home in
Look, a lot of it is very simple. Particularly on the coast, there's endless wonderful fish and shellfish.
Right.
And the shellfish, we went to one, we went a number of times to a great little restaurant in Lisbon where they have a board listing the shellfish and its prices. Now, shellfish in Portugal is as expensive or more expensive than anywhere else. So there were, I think, seven different kinds of prawns, various sizes, various places of origin. The most expensive were, I think, €70 a kilo.
Okay, that is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's lobster country.
And the lobster, and this is good value lobster because it was a special, was about €60 a kilo in a very modest place.
Right.
But people came there to eat, not to save money, but to eat what they really wanted to eat.
Well, that's good. I'm pleased to hear that. And I think they're big in salt cod too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So that appears all over the place, and particularly in little croquettes. I mean, there are times when a lot of Portuguese food looks like 1950s Women's Weekly food. Lots of croquettes and so on. But delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And the thing that the Portuguese do in a way that nobody else quite does is cake and biscuits, pastries.
Oh. Okay.
So there's a huge, huge, very rich tradition of cakes, many of which are entirely local. And they date back to convent times and to Napoleon. Napoleon dismantled all the religious houses. But convents were allowed to continue to make cakes and to earn their living that way. So they were regarded as productive and not a drain on the state.
Oh. So it wasn't the religiosity so much that he objected to, because they were of the right side of the ledger, weren't they? The Catholic?
Yes, they were, but it was about the separation of church and state.
Right, okay.
So, and the church was very, very powerful in Portugal until Napoleon. But what and the cake tradition, which is now going through a revival, came about because when women went into convents, they didn't always go in to live lives of poverty and service. They sometimes went into closed communities where they were safe.
Fair enough.
And they often went in with maids, and they often, the richer women, came with a dowry. Now, that money enabled the convent to buy sugar, which was very expensive until quite late in the 18th century. There were lots and lots of egg yolks used. So I've got a book of old convent recipes which has endless, endless cakes where the recipe begins, take 32 egg yolks.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, but the egg whites were used for starching. They were sent to monasteries where they were used for fining wine, and I suspect they were used for tempera for painting as well. So there was a very nice closed economy.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
So what would you say was your favourite meal while you were over there, Rita?
Oh, actually, it was the little place we went to, which turned out to be a giant place, where they had fabulous fish. And there was another little place. And the fish is on display. Hmm. So if you don't like the look of the fish, you go somewhere else. And this was a place where they had quite a small range, and where the man in charge said to me very firmly, "You're not interested in this, the sea bass or the robalo or one of the other fish." He said, "They're both farmed. These are the fish you're interested in."
Oh,
and so,
okay.
And he was right. So it was a choice of red mullet or sardines. And if you're there in June for St. Antonio's Day in Lisbon, the sardines are the fish you eat on that day for that saint's day.
Sardines are not in a can, but these would have been fresh sardines.
Fresh sardines.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Did they cook them up so that you could actually eat the whole bone and everything?
Depends how big they are. If they're fried, I've found you can eat the whole bone, but they grill them.
Right.
But the flesh comes away from the bone so easily.
Yeah. That sounds fantastic, Rita.
It's also an easy place to get around. Lisbon's become a very, very big city. Lisbon seems to be the European city with the fastest growth,
okay,
which is quite interesting. And so the agglomeration of Lisbon, you know, and its and surrounding areas is more than 2.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you go to... Sorry, Rita, did you go to other parts of Portugal? Did you go to other cities as well?
To Porto and to Lisbon this time. On other visits, we've been to lots of cities in the north which are beautiful. Mm. And I'm planning to go back so that we can go again to Ponte Lima, which the Lima is the river. The pont is the Roman bridge built
yes.
over it. And there is the story is told that the Roman soldiers were afraid to build a bridge over it because they thought it was such a beautiful river. It must be the River Lethe, the river that leads to the underworld.
Oh, okay. Superstition.
The Roman bridge was used until very, very recently. And when big trucks started going over it, they built a bridge for road traffic. But it's still used.
So you can foot traffic it, can you?
Yes, and bicycles and motorcycles and so on. So Ponte Lima is beautiful. Guimarães is the old capital, one of the old capitals.
Right.
And there's a city called Coimbra, which has a very old university. It was an old university town, and it has a Baroque library in it. This astonishing, astonishing library, which I have recently discovered was the repository for all sorts of precious manuscripts. So they've discovered a lot of 15th century Jewish texts there,
right.
Because they, during the Inquisition, they were hidden there.
What they were these Jews out of Spain or Portuguese Jews
and Portugal?
Right.
Yeah, the Inquisition came first to Spain, but then to Portugal.
Right.
And two things are left from the Inquisition in Portugal. One is this astonishing collection of old texts in the Coimbra Library. And the other is a sausage called alheira. And I was told this story on my first visit when we were visiting a winery and they provided lunch and they said to me, this is a very special sausage. It's a Jewish sausage. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, in olden times, during the Inquisition, people used to burst into houses to look for evidence of proper food, that is, food that wasn't kosher.
Mm.
And this sausage, which is made of chicken traditionally, but now made of all sorts of things, was designed to look like a big pork sausage.
Right.
And used to hang near the fireplace as a pork sausage.
Right. That's a fascinating story.
Isn't it?
That was Rita Ehrlich on the culinary delights and also the kosher delights of Portugal.
Oh, she's a good storyteller.
She is. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.